Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Friday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville. Or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It'd be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Stratton.
That'd be really weird.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com.
The Mississippi. You know what's funny is I connect Chris Stratton to Tupelo.
Yeah.
Which is where Brupolo is located. So maybe it wouldn't be all that weird that it was the other way around, that Brupolo was actually in Stratton.
Stratton is in Newton County, so.
Okay, that's up around where I used to go to school there. Yeah.
I like to connect Chris Stratton to a lot of different teams on the Immaculate Grid. He is a fantastic piece on
the Immaculate Grid. And up until this year, he was still playing. I think he was with the Dodgers. Maybe the Dodgers. I can't remember where he was last.
I mean, he's been with the Giants, the Pirates, the Royals, the Rangers.
Angels. Maybe it was the Royals.
Yeah, he was with the Royals last year, I believe. So, yeah. It's, you know, blue and white team. They're all the same.
He had a really solid career, too.
Great career, yeah. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for Christmas. Oh, Robbie Falk.
Oh, we have a prime rib coming Monday.
Mine is in the fridge, my friends.
Yep.
And look, I was right. The guy at Kroger, I'll set them up a little free advertising because they're good to me. It's $9.99 a pound. So I got a 5.5 pound prime rib for $53. I mean, that's as good a deal as you can find out there.
I think my dad's was like 6 pounds or something.
Yeah. So beautiful.
Basically the size of my child.
And I'm taking our buddy Sam Blakeney's advice. It's in the fridge now. I'll let it get a week's worth of age on it. And, it's going to be really good. I'm looking forward to it.
Are you doing the tri-tip angle that we went with last
time?
Yeah,
let it age a little bit. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So excited.
It was good.
It was good. So can't wait for Christmas. It's a week from today as we're recording. Hope you guys have a happy holiday, and I hope you make beef the star of the Christmas table. Beef, it's what's for Christmas, thanks to our friends, the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. I would definitely go shopping at College Corner this weekend if you're going to want to buy from them. It just might be a little difficult for you. But do that at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area. They're in Ridgeland by Fleet Feet. They're in Flowood by the Half Shell. If you want to have a great holiday, you want to put some maroon and white under the tree, the place to do it is College Corner. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. You need to talk to the good people over at Priority One Bank, a bank that knows you by name, not just by your account number. You want to talk to a bank that gives you that level of service, the place to do it is Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. All right, folks. We're going to do something here. We're going to put our toe in the water here. Robbie and I talked about this. He wasn't too pleased. It's okay.
I wasn't displeased. I just asked if this is what you want to do.
This is the road we're going to take today because there isn't really any new football news. Now, later in the show, we're going to talk some baseball. Mark Etheridge of D1 Baseball joins the show. Good interview with him.
Very good.
We're going to talk some basketball. Okay, good. Calm down. All right, here we go. Here's what I'm going to say about this basketball team. All right, they've won three. They've won what? Three of their last four games. Right? They beat Georgia Tech. They beat Utah. They beat Long Island on Tuesday night. Stay with me. If Hubbard doesn't get hurt, they're going to beat San Francisco. I'm not even going to say probably. They would have.
They would beat San Francisco. Yes.
They'd be on a four-game winning streak right now. And coming in to play a Memphis team, Memphis is an interesting team. When you look at their record, they're 4-6, and you think, oh, this is a great opportunity. They have good losses. They've lost to Purdue, who's ranked in the top 10. They've lost to top 15 Vanderbilt and Louisville. They also lost to Ole Miss, who has not been really good this year. They played San Francisco in their season opener and only beat them by 6, and I assume they were fully healthy for that one. We talked about it a little bit yesterday. A year ago, this game, State dominated Memphis, absolutely destroyed them on their own home floor. And I left the FedEx Forum that day thinking I was watching a potential Sweet 16 team in Mississippi State. Obviously, didn't pan out that way, but man, they played really well in that game. So here's what I'm going to say. This is the hypothesis I'm going to make. I think turning the season around, being an NCAA tournament team, that ship may have already sailed for Mississippi State. It probably has. But a win on Saturday, and you can at least talk about them being respectable when you get into SEC play. And maybe what we were talking about being a 2 or 1 win team, maybe they're a 5 or 6 win team. And is that good? No. And is that good enough? Absolutely not. But is it respectable when you clearly have missed on so many of your evaluations and you just got to piece it together as best you can? I say yes.
Well, we've already said you're going to have a sign that says
Yeah, that sign is
whenever you
coming. I'll
feel
bring
like
it.
you're upset about basketball, remember what we said
Yeah.
in December. Don't be upset about this team anymore. We're just going to, I mean, you can't be upset, I guess. I mean, you can't ex just completely excuse Chris Jans here, but remember that this is going to be a very difficult year. And there's going to be ups and downs. The other day, watching that game against Long Island was rough. I mean, they
Yeah.
won the ball game, but it was very difficult watch. That's going to be what you expect from this team just about every game.
The
It's not
thing
going to be pretty.
I pointed out to you during the game, and Hubbard had 34, and they almost lost. A
They
year
had
ago,
54 points from their top two scorers, and they almost lost.
a year ago, if Hubbard has 34, that team's winning by like 25 points.
In that game, yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's I think right now for Chris Jans, it should be about getting the right starting lineup and getting the right rotation in there and just focusing all your efforts on the rotation of players that's going to help you win. It appears obvious that Amir Ali is going to be another one of those throwaway transfers unless something miraculous happens here. There is a guy or two that Mississippi State picks up out of the transfer portal every year that is expected to help them, that is complete no show. They either leave the team
They got
or
a
they're
couple of
just,
those this year, though.
yeah, and that's the case. So at this point, it's, Sergei Masura is a guy that you probably need to put a lot of effort into developing into being a guy that can really help you. And we thought preseason he would, but you might have to rely on him a little bit more. And maybe at the four, maybe you go smaller and he's playing the four, and he helps you in a multitude of ways because he can rebound the basketball. He's starting to come into his own offensively. I think he's starting to kind of get the style of play down a little bit. He plays hard for the most part. But there's guys like that. Jamar Davis Fleming has really surprised at this point. I did not expect him to be the freshman
Agreed.
that was going to be the big contributor. But you almost have to have him step his game up because post play is just not good right now. So focus your effort in on having the right rotation and the players playing the right roles. And maybe you get the max effort possible out of these players, and they can get you in the conversation for the NIT or something. It's just going to be very difficult for this team to make postseason,
Yes.
especially the NCAA tournament. I mean, let's just be real about it. We can already foresee that's going to be tough from what they have on the court, the hand that they're dealt because of Chris Jans. I mean, this is his evaluations, this is his recruiting, because of the fact that they have not evaluated well and they haven't retained and they haven't developed enough to put themselves in position here to have a good season, it's going to be tough for them. So, looking at the schedule ahead in the SEC and looking at what they got, I mean, they desperately need to finish strong here. This feels like a must win against Memphis on Saturday, and then see what happens from there. I mean, whatever you get out of this season beyond what the expectations are at this point from us and others, whatever you get is gravy on the top. But they're not going to fire Chris Jans this year. That's not going to happen, barring some kind of scandal. It's just one of those deals where everybody's got to settle in and brace for impact because the SEC could get ugly. But hopefully it doesn't. Hopefully they get the best out of what they got. They are playing better, I guess. And you know, they're kind of closing non-conference fairly well, especially if they're able to get a win here against Memphis. But at the same time, there's just a lot of challenges ahead.
That's putting it mildly, to be honest. I mean, I feel like you're being very generous, but we both are in this scenario. You know, I don't want to just completely hammer them, but I will say this: they're 5-5 right this second. Are they 6-5? What's the
Five
record?
and five, I
Five and
think.
five. Three non-conference games remaining, I believe. If they fit it, if they're 8-5 and they win six games in the conference, they finish with 14 wins. Again, not good enough. Jans will be under pressure to perform next year. Needs to be back in the tournament next year. Don't want to waste the final 2 years of Josh Hubbard. Got to be better in the way you evaluate. I like, as you mentioned, I like the young freshmen, and I think they've got a great freshman class coming in next year. Maybe you can build around those guys. But 2 weeks ago, I talked myself into and was at peace with the idea that this is a team that could go 1-17 or worse in conference play, that they might not win a single conference game. The way they've played, the way that Epps has become a consistent scorer, the way they're starting to figure some things out, you know, they're not figuring them out at a rate that's going to let them win the games they want to win, but they are going to at least be, I feel like they're going to be more competitive than they were, than I thought they were going to be a couple years ago. What's lost in this is that Josh Hubbard is playing some of his best basketball. He's become a far more consistent scorer. He can get to the rim, you know, get to the end of the paint, hit those little short floaters, hit those short jump shots. He hits them with impunity right now. He has become a much better scorer of the bat. He's not just a 3-point guy anymore. He is a much more all-around good basketball player, and it's unfortunate that this team is not going to be good enough to use that fact.
And they have a guy in Jaden Epps that can score at all three levels too. That's what's kind of frustrating about it is you finally got somebody in there with Hubbard that can take a little bit of the load off, but now Hubbard has to work double time again to provide scoring for Mississippi State because there's just nobody there outside of Jaden Epps that can do it. And Hubbard feels like he has to go get a bucket. I mean, you look at Long Island the other night, they're kind of having to go shot for shot with Long Island because they're not defending well enough. And Hubbard's having to go do a little extra work. Like you got a guy in here in Jaden Epps that has taken a little bit of load off, and now those two are having to work extra hard to get to score points. And that's tough. I mean, you just don't have enough options out there that can score the basketball. Your post presence is, I don't want to say non-existent, but you're not getting much of anything offensively out of those guys. You're just not. I mean, look at the numbers. You just don't have, you know, a center that's going out there and getting 15 to 18 points a night, like you did with Tolu Smith and guys like that. I mean, even Michael Nwokwu could get you some points early in the game, and Keyshawn Murphy last year. They just don't have that option. So you're kind of down to Epps and Hubbard carrying the load. Those two scored 54 points
Yeah.
the other night, and
Mocker
they
was the only other one in double
barely
figures, I
won.
believe. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, you had over well over half your points from those two.
Feels like Nwoko's the guy State should have really worked to keep. Like, I understand Keyshawn Murphy. I think Murphy wasn't an I we hear this a lot, and I know people are kind of tired of hearing it, and I think they're kind of skeptical. I don't think Murphy was an NIL thing. I think he
It was
just
not.
he wanted to go play at Auburn. That's
Yeah,
fine.
it was not
So
an
like
NIL thing.
I can't sit here and say with any, you know, they should have worked harder to keep him. But Nwoko looks like, I thought you saw some flashes from him last year that he could be a good player. And, you know, I thought with another year with Jans, maybe it could have been, but I guess it just wasn't meant to be. Kugel, I couldn't go further with. He
No, I
had to
think
go.
everybody had kind of that had kind of played out.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think we have to have these conversations. Like, people have got to start having these conversations about the transfer portal in another way than just it's a money thing.
Right.
Like it, that's
There's some
just,
nuance that people aren't willing to
I
accept
know people
sometimes.
don't want like that. They will argue with you and I about that. Like, no, y'all just saying that to save Mississippi State. Like you have to use your brain sometimes on this stuff and realize sometimes there's other factors that go into it. So it's playing time for a lot of players. They're looking for another spot to get more playing time. Some guys just they want to go to a better program. I mean, Keyshawn Murphy had an opportunity to go to a place that he grew up, watching at Auburn, and an objectively better basketball team. Like what are we talking about here? Auburn under Bruce Pearl was one of the best basketball programs in the country. That they're traditionally not, but under Bruce Pearl, that's a totally different conversation. And I'm not making excuses for Chris Jans, but Mississippi State did everything possible to try to keep Keyshawn Murphy, and it just didn't happen. So, sometimes you just chalk it up to the guy. Just, I mean, he got an opportunity to go to a program that he perceived was better. I think objectively, everybody would say that Auburn's in a better position than Mississippi
And
State.
he
He
couldn't
was
have known
going.
that Bruce Pearl was going to leave.
Correct. I mean, if it was Stephen Pearl offering him, I don't think he would
I
have
think he
left.
stays.
I think he probably stays. But yeah, we got to be able to talk in nuance in these conversations. But either way, I don't know why Michael Nwokwu left, but maybe it was NIL for him and Mississippi State wasn't willing to spend that on him, but they didn't. They thought that they upgraded in the portal. And
Exactly. I think
I
that's
think
exactly what it is right there.
I think Quincy Ballard will get better, but at the time we all thought Quincy Ballard's a more physical guy. He's bigger. He's got the ability to finish in the post, and he's just not really translating that for whatever reason.
100%. I mean, when I saw Ballard's film, I was like, dude, this guy's going to be a dominant player for Mississippi State. He's going with the way Jans coaches and the way Jans plays and the way he schemes up defense and stuff. This guy's going to be an unbelievable player. And then you and I watch him on Tuesday night, and he can't dunk it. Like he's
Yeah.
right at the rim, goes up for a dunk, and he can't even do it. I think between him and Achor, their confidence level is just super low, and I don't know how you fix that, but it just is what it is. Mississippi State versus Memphis, 3 o'clock tip on Saturday. I haven't decided if I'm going yet. I may just want to stay home and watch football. I don't know yet, but we'll see. We'll see. What are you doing? What are you doing? Might make my decision here.
I haven't decided either. I could have some family stuff. I don't
Yeah.
know.
All right. We'll figure that out for another time. So, all right. Let's move into the rest of the show. Let's move into some baseball. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoke Meats in the heart of the Cotton District and the Older Brother. If you're looking for a fantastic stocking stuffer, a Two Brothers or Older Brother gift card is the way to go. I promise you, if I open my stocking and Santa's put me a Two Brothers gift card in there, I will be very, very thankful to the big man for that one. And you should be too. If you want to enjoy some smoked Southern soul food this holiday season, the place to get it is Two Brothers Smoked Meats. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for 50 years.
50.
Need
50.
technology?
It
That's a very angry 50 there.
was kind of, there was kind of like some JFK in there.
Yeah.
My
50.
fellow Americans.
Ask not what Advantage Business Systems can do for you. Ask what you can do for Advantage Business Systems.
Happy birthday,
All right,
Mr.
calm
President.
down. Calm down. When you need technology for your business, the number to call is Advantage Business System, 601-362-9192, or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Maroon & Co. is the place to go. Are you looking for brand new Mississippi State gear? Are you looking for the logos that you want, the state script, the interlocking, the M over S? The place to get it is at Maroon & Co. Nobody with a bigger or better selection here in Starkville. If you're going to be in Starkville this weekend to do your last-minute holiday shopping, Maroon & Co. should be the first place on your list to get something for every Bulldog in your family. And use our promo code THUNDER15 to save 15% off regular price. Some exclusions will apply. Before you go to your next game here in Starkville, make sure you go to Maroon & Co. Our buddy Matt Caldwell is at Scruggs today, so he's doing his last-minute Christmas shopping. You should be doing that as well. This weekend, get to Saltillo. That way, you don't have to go to a bunch of different places. You can just go to Scruggs and get it all done. And if you're looking to for the ultimate gift, the John Deere mower for that person you love, Scruggs is going to have great deals all Christmas season long. Go talk to the credit people there and get set up with a great deal for a hold on. Hold on. We gotta do some math real quick. Ready?
Okay.
You can get 0% financing for up to 3 million minutes.
That's a lot of minutes.
Almost 3.15 million minutes worth of 0% financing.
I'm glad that you did the math on that because I would not have been
Well,
able to
Google really
notice.
did the math, so let's be honest with it. Scruggs Farm, Lawn, and Garden, they have what you want for less. Or if you're a landowner in the state of Mississippi, Good Hope Land and Timber is the name to know. If you're a landowner or you're looking to buy or sell land, Good Hope Land and Timber is here to help you make smart, sustainable, and most importantly, profitable decisions regarding your land. An experienced team, years of dealing with landowners and land here in the state of Mississippi, whatever your question is, they have an answer for you. Whatever it is you're looking to do with your land, Good Hope Land and Timber is here to help. Locally trusted, landowner approved, Good Hope Land and Timber. All right. Earlier today,
While you're doing that, Luke Crumlin Hawk is going into the portal.
we called it. We said it had to happen. It had to happen. So that's tough for Mississippi State, though, in one way. Is he going to finish out the season?
See, that's the question because
Otherwise,
I believe he has been in bowl practice.
yeah, so maybe he's going to finish up and then go to the portal. That would make the most sense for him.
I don't know how all this is going to work. I really don't. I
I don't
don't know
either.
who is still on campus right now, who's going to take part in bowl prep. I don't know if every single player that's come out, like the names that have come out, are they gone?
What if we had a
Or
device where we could send somebody a text? That's what I'm going to do right now.
just ask, like, are
Yeah.
we expecting every single player who's had their name come out, are they all going to be in the portal? Like, are they all skipping the bowl game or what? Like, is Mississippi State going to be down to 50 players? I mean, what are we? What are you thinking here? Because they're coming up on, I think, 20 transfers before this portal's even opened.
Question asked. If we get an answer while we're on the while we're recording, I will let you know. But
Very
that
good.
being said, earlier today I talked baseball with Mark Etheridge of D1 Baseball. He just put up D1 Baseball's fall preview of Mississippi State. You should definitely go check that out. All of our interviews here on Thunder and Lightning are brought to you by our friends at Alora Modern Wellness, and we're talking about great gifts and great gift ideas for you. Right now at Alora Modern Wellness, you can buy their gift cards, and they've got a special on. If you spend $50, I'm sorry, if you spend $40 to get a $50 gift card, $80 gets you a $100 gift card, $125 for $150, $150 for $200. So you can put yourself a great stocking stuffer and save a little money at Alora Modern Wellness. The website is aloramodernwellness.com. You can check out all of the great services they have to offer there. You can book those services as well, or you can call them at 662-268-9255. All of our interviews brought to you by Alora Modern Wellness. Let's go now to our interview with Mark Etheridge of D1 Baseball. We're talking baseball here on Thunder and Lightning today. Mark Etheridge joins us from D1 Baseball. And Mark, I had Kendall on last week. So we're I don't know if you've noticed Mississippi State basketball. It's not great. So we're trying to focus ahead.
Just fast forward.
I mentioned on, I think it was on my radio show yesterday, my preseason top three is some combination of LSU, UCLA, and Mississippi State. Am I missing somebody in there, or is somebody in there that shouldn't be there?
I think you can make a case for Texas. They won the SEC regular season a year ago, return a ton of pitching, especially. They added some impact players from the portal. Aiden Robbins is going to be one of the best players. He's from Seton Hall, going to be one of the best outfielders in the conference. Carson Tinney was probably the top catcher in the portal, one of the top overall players. And it's year two under Schlossnagle, just an incredible hitting teacher. And I expect their offense will be better, with just more time in the program. But I don't disagree that Mississippi State is going to be in that group. And I talked to Brian O'Connor, I guess it was last week, and just going through and understanding, how is he going to find time for this many quality players. And that was really how I kicked it off. I mean, it seems like you have a lot of starter quality players. You know, what is that going to look like? And he's like, yeah, I wish I could give you a lineup right now. It's still going to be, you know, going to be a dogfight, probably up to opening day and then beyond, right? As guys get more opportunities.
And you just finished the D1 baseball fall preview
Yep.
for Mississippi State. Did you come across that as you were writing? You're like, oh, I forgot about this guy. Oh, this guy. Where are they going to piece him in? This is the most depth I can remember Mississippi State having.
Yeah, no doubt. And especially, you know, because we're evaluating Mississippi State against other teams. I'm writing other reports as well. So you get an idea for the depth that different programs have. And Mississippi State's depth is, at least positionally, stacks up with anyone that I ran across. I mean, LSU's got some dudes, Tennessee's got some dudes, but I do think that if you're being compared to those, you're in a really good spot. And I do think that, you know, there's so much excitement heading into this program, and rightfully so, because there's positional depth, there's high-end talent, and then there's also just experience. There's older players, not just, you know, within returnees from last year's Mississippi State team, but some of the older guys that, I mean, some of the newcomers have experience elsewhere.
One thing I've found myself noticing is if State had just brought back the guys they had in terms of the batting order, if they just brought back Reese and Sullivan, Chance, Stallman, maybe Gatlin Sanders, you'd feel pretty good about them being able to piece it together and still be a pretty good team. It's the additions that make them potentially elite. Of those new guys, those new faces you were talking about, who's the guy Mississippi State fans should have the most eyes on coming into the season?
I'll give you a couple. Aiden Teal going to be the center fielder. He comes with O'Connor from Virginia. Big physical guy, and he's added strength, you know, from last year. He's going to be one. I mean, he could be a five-tool guy. He's not there yet, but he certainly has that pattern. And I think the other guy, Ryder Woodson, shortstop. NC State did play a whole lot for them last year. Got to play some towards the end of the year. Just, you know, he's like a 6'3", uber athletic kind of kid in the middle of the infield. Looks the part, and has really improved. One of probably the most improved guy from the time he spent last year at NC State to what how he finished the fall.
Is that a guy you think competes for that starting second baseman spot? I know Drew Wires, the transfer from Bryant, is going to be in the mix in the middle of the infield. That was my biggest question about this team. Maybe a couple weeks left in the portal period was the middle of the infield. Is Woodson a guy you think could be State starting second baseman?
I think Woodson will be the shortstop.
Okay.
I think Woodson will be the shortstop. And I think at second base, I mean, you've got several candidates. I think Garrick Fry is gonna get a look at second. Certainly Wires could be in there. I think who am I missing?
Sanders, the returning second
Sanders,
baseman.
absolutely. Gatlin Sanders is the other. He's the guy I missed. Yeah, I think those three guys, and I think they'll all get opportunities. And then you look around, you wonder, you know, Reese missed the fall, so he's got to come back, and you know, how well does he defend? Sometimes that wasn't a strength a year ago, but he's had more time in it. He'll continue to get better there. And where does Noah Sullivan? Does he factor in at first base? Is he still the full-time DH? There's so much depth. You'd like to get him out of position and be able to sprinkle other guys in, but Blake Beavis has had a really good fall, and he could be the first baseman. So they're in great shape from an option standpoint, and you can play mix and match, but based on who's hot and who you're facing.
A guy you and I talked about when I had you on after the Florida State exhibition was the true freshman Jacob Parker, a guy I know you're very high on. You know, what is a reasonable expectation for him in this first year, especially when we're talking about a team, as we've been saying, has this kind of depth? You know, where does he fit in?
Yeah, it's going to be really hard for him to break in as an everyday player, but I do think when you have a guy with that kind of talent, you might play him a little bit as part of. Let me put it this way: if Mississippi State wants to win a national title, you want to have that high ceiling guy get the opportunities. So maybe he's not so great in February and March, but by May and June, I mean, this is a. You know, he's certainly a future pro, maybe a future big leaguer. If you can get him elevated to be that that kind of guy at the end of his freshman year, it changes the whole lineup. Because certainly with the with Reese, with Sullivan, with I mentioned Teal, James Nunnally is a guy who had a really good fall, probably going to be an outfielder. You look at Woodson, we mentioned Bryce Chance, Kevin Molewski, the catcher from Seton Hall. They could be a really deep lineup. So it's not like you're sticking him in there and he's got to hit three hole. I think you could, if you put him in there, let him get some development time, and then by May, maybe he's ready to elevate and be that absolute difference maker and give you a shot in the arm down the stretch.
March 1st, Sunday, March 1st, Mississippi State's taking part in the Amegy Bank College Baseball Series at Globe Life. They play UCLA on that Sunday. Is that a potential College World Series preview game?
That's an absolutely incredible tournament, or whatever you want to call that classic. I mean, with Mississippi State there, with Tennessee there, with A&M there, and there is like an SEC challenge against Arizona State, UCLA, and Virginia Tech, that I would think you could have several of those teams make it to Omaha. And certainly that with UCLA facing those three SEC teams, we're going to find out what LSU, I mean, what UCLA is about, because they're going to get a lot of consideration for number one overall in our preseason poll. And if you go in there and you take care of business against State, against Tennessee, or even two out of three with A&M, you're certainly getting our attention. And that's that. And that's sort of where we've evolved to now, is it's like the SEC versus all y'all, right? And I think because of that, when you get these opportunities like this, there's going to be a lot of scrutiny how Mississippi State does against these teams and how they do against the SEC.
Outside of the SEC, we already just mentioned UCLA. Who are the teams outside of this conference that have can be real legitimate national title contenders?
Yeah, I think out of the ACC is where you'd start. Certainly, Georgia Tech is going to have one of the best offenses in the sport. Great lineup. Will they pitch enough will be the question. And they've got a new coach. James Ramsey takes over for Danny Hall this year. So what does that look like? North Carolina will again be strong. Really good rotation. They've had a good program, and they continue to reload. Clemson will be really strong. Florida State, I did their fall report, and they lost a lot, but they've reached that echelon where you can just kind of pick and choose from the portal. And because of that, they're able to reload. And I think across the rest of the country, I mean, Arizona finished strong last year, made the College World Series. They're going to be in the hunt again. Oregon is another team to watch. I think, it's interesting. They're in the Big Ten, and they and UCLA are going to be two of the best teams and have a chance to put up some gaudy win-loss records because they are better than the
They
bulk
don't,
of the
yeah,
conference.
Indiana and Ohio State and those teams, yeah. First year, we've had so much focus on Brian O'Connor coming to Mississippi State. What does Virginia look like in the first year after Brian O'Connor?
They lost quite a bit from the portal. As you're going looking around, you see Virginia guys scattered on all these rosters, and a lot of them are in, prime starting positions. So they had hit the portal hard. So it's going to be interesting to see what Chris Pollard does. He came from Duke and up to Virginia and is in a position where he had to reload. And they did. They brought in quite a few players, brought in some Duke players, as coaches tend to do, and they were able to reload. I think they're going to be a top 25 kind of club in the preseason. Remember last year they and A&M both had they were 1-2 in the preseason, and it just never really clicked for them.
Neither
So
one made the NCAA tournament. What are you
I
guys
think
doing over there at D1? What are you doing?
And certainly you look at, and it's so hard to do the preseason predictions now because the roster's changed so much. I mean, you can only go by what you see in the fall, and you don't know how some of the mid-major guys are actually going to do, once the competition elevates it as they move on. It's really made this job, it was always challenging, but it's even more so from a prediction standpoint.
In the SEC, I hate to say somebody in the conference has an easy schedule, right? But Arkansas, after they play Mississippi State, no Tennessee, no Texas, no Texas A&M, no LSU, no Vanderbilt. They've got, I mean, Mississippi State's probably and LSU are going to be among the favorites, but Arkansas has to be there because you were just talking about Oregon and UCLA. They play basically the bottom half of the SEC. How good are the Hogs going to be this year?
I think they do get a break from a schedule standpoint, but they're going to be good. I mean, like I mentioned with Florida State, Arkansas lost a ton, but they're able to go out and pick and choose, and they also do an incredible job being able to have those guys who were bit players as freshmen who develop into that next level and play winning baseball the next year. Gabe Gackel, you might recall him last year, was one of their best pitchers, ended up getting shifted to the bullpen. They're going to run him back out there and see if he can be the ace. There's no questioning this stuff. And if that works, then you just work backwards from there. They also have a guy, Hunter Dietz, who 2 years ago was one of the top recruits in the country and just hasn't been able to stay healthy. Well, he had an incredible fall and could be one of the real breakout candidates for Arkansas this year.
Is Georgia a program now that's just kind of, we can just kind of pencil them into the postseason? Does Wes Johnson have that program at that point?
Yeah, and they're doing it different. They're so portal heavy. They're going out, they're getting older portal players who they have more confidence are going to be able to work in the SEC, brutal competition. And it's worked 2 years in a row. I mean, it's kind of why if it's working, you keep running it back out there. It's hard to hit on this many guys, but certainly they're bringing in enough that you don't have to hit on all of them. And in that ballpark, it's cozy. And they've got guys that can drive the ball out of the yard, and they made a concerted effort to cut down on the swing and miss, which was a problem for them a year ago. I saw them this fall, and I like their offense. I think it might not hit it quite as many home runs, but they're gonna have better at bats. And the other part of that is they brought in some transfer pitchers. I mean, Joey Volchko might he's another breakout guy. He was enigmatic at Stanford. One day he looks amazing. The next day he didn't get out of the third. And Wes Johnson, the famous former major league pitching coach, does wonders with guys. And when you have a dude with that kind of talent, I look for him to have a monster year.
Let's hit on one more Mississippi State opponent, and that's South Carolina. Mississippi State will be on the road to take on the Gamecocks. It was not a great first year for Paul Maneri in Columbia. Can the Gamecocks be improved this year?
I think they will be. I think overall their talent will be better. The questions I have for them is they lost Ethan Petrie, who was
Great player.
almost a generational hitter for them. He's been really good. They also lost Nathan Hall, a really good center fielder. And I don't know that anybody they brought in is as good as those two guys. Of course, they have a chance to develop, but I think as an aggregate, they're more talented. Now, does that translate to more wins without those difference makers in your order? I think the other thing with them is they will be better on the mound. They were light last year, and they just didn't have the stuff to match up at the top of the SEC. And they've got some guys. The question is, are they consistent? How durable are they? Can they do it week after week and get deep into games? That'll be the question. But I do think they'll be better. They won, what, six SEC games last year. They will win more than that. But where are those wins going to come from? Because this league is cutthroat, man. We were trying to just pecking order them, one through 16. And oh, man, I mean, you could do it. You yourself, Brian, could do the exercise 10 times and probably come up with 10 different answers because
Yeah.
how tightly bunched all these teams are.
A lot of good teams. Another great season of baseball. Before the interview started, we said, I can't believe it's almost Christmas. Just after Christmas, we'll be saying, I can't believe it's almost opening day. We're
I know.
almost there, Mark, and we will be talking about it. We'll have you back on soon enough, my friend. Mark Etheridge,
Absolutely.
D1 Baseball, man. Thanks so much.
See you.
That's two people now, Robbie, I've talked to from D1 Baseball. Next week, we'll talk to Jacob Rudner from Baseball America. Baseball America, he did a preseason top 25 it was back in July. He had State fourth. So obviously he's high on the Bulldogs as well. It's such a weird situation where, normally if I was talking to people and they were just hyping up Mississippi State, I'd be like, oh God. Oh no. A little nervous. I'm not. I'm not. I refuse to be. This team is too talented. The coaching staff is too good. If they sink, it's because God willed it. There's no other reason for it.
Yeah, it would make no sense with what the talent they have, the coaching that they have. It would make no sense for them to be bad. I don't foresee bad being an option. I don't foresee mediocre being an option. I think this is going to be a good team. How good are they going to be? We'll see how that plays out because there's a lot of factors that go into baseball. If this was football and Mississippi State had who I would consider a top three coach in college football, and they have what I would consider a top five roster. It would be very, they would have to really screw up to not win 9 games, 10 games that year with what they have in football. So it, when you look at baseball,
We
it's
have
a
an
little
example of
different.
that. 2018.
Yeah, but no, it's not an example of that. I'm saying you have a top three coach. Jim Moorhead was not a top
Oh, that's
three
what I'm saying, though.
coach.
They did screw up. Yeah. Okay. I see what
But
you're
yeah,
saying.
but what
No,
I'm saying is, all
you're
things
right. I got
considered,
you.
if you put Mississippi State baseball relative to football, if you have an elite baseball coach, you have an elite team from a roster standpoint and support, it would be incredibly difficult in football for that team to not win 11 games, 10 games. But in baseball, weird things happen. You lose games, you go through stretches where you're playing poorly. It would still be tough for me to see a team that's not hosting in the regionals or being a top eight national seed. Like, it would, with what they have, that should be your expectations. If you're a Mississippi State fan, your expectations should be postseason baseball at Duty Noble, but also super regional baseball at Duty Noble. And then fans don't like to hear this, but if you follow college baseball very, very closely and you understand the game, I cannot sit here today and say this team has to be in Omaha for it to be a success. It is such a weird dynamic in baseball. When you get to that point, it's about luck of the draw. It's about how your team's playing at the time sometimes. Your expectations, I'm not setting them for yourself, but for me, it's always about, can Mississippi State consistently host super regionals? That, to me, tells you how healthy your program is or not. If you're a consistent top eight national seed, I think that you're in really good shape. You look at like what Cliff Godwin has done at East Carolina, I think that tells me that he's a really good coach and that
He's
program's in good shape.
maximizing that program.
They have not been able to get over the hump and go win a national championship, and they don't go to Omaha, but they're consistently in the hosting discussion. They're getting to super regionals, things like that. That's where you want to live, and then everything else just kind of falls in line.
Agreed. We will continue to talk baseball next week on the podcast, as I mentioned, with Jacob Rudner. All right, let's do some scheduling here while I got you here. What do we want to do next week? I say we got a podcast Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, but Christmas Eve, I'm going to be tied up with family stuff. I'm sure you are too. So no podcast Thursday, Friday.
Yes,
Okay.
I think that's reasonable.
All right, and then while I got you here, the 28th, I'm going to Vicksburg for family stuff. Can we record on Saturday, the 27th, for our Monday pod?
The 27th, probably.
Okay. All right. So there you go. That's now you know your schedule. We'll have a podcast for you on December, what is that, 22nd? Yeah, 22nd, 23rd, and we'll have a podcast on Christmas Eve, but no podcast on Christmas Day or the day after Christmas. Then the week after that should be a relatively normal schedule. Of course, we'll have the bowl game, so we'll do some talking about that. And then I guess the week after that we'll have the Robbies. It's almost that
Yes.
time for our year-end awards ceremony here on Thunder and Lightning. All right, guys, have a great week. Back with you on Monday for Robbie Falk. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk, Mississippi.
Mississippi Media Production.